hope. That real love, that sound doctrine. What y'all think? I don't care regardless. At all. Social club in the building, we got this.
We're in here.
And we're the best just in case you
forgot
this.
All right, if you haven't, go ahead and continue to make your way up front.
Don't sleep on my talent. Straight terrible, aren't we all?
We're super excited for this next session. It's going to be awesome. People are still filing in. We're not going to prolong this. We're going to go ahead and get started. You guys excited? I mean, like, really excited? Can we get a shout for Jesus? All right. Holy Spirit, Lord, we just invite you in this place here today, God. We thank you for what you've already established and what you'll continue to do, God. This is your conference. Have your way. Let your will be done here, God. Prepare our hearts for the words that you have. Don't allow them to fall upon deaf ears, Jesus, but allow it to just saturate in every bit of our being. So, Lord, I thank you that for the anointed worship, God, we thank you for the presence that is going to be ushered in, that changes lives, that breaks bondages, breaks those strongholds down. So, Lord, we come before you today, Jesus, with just a humble heart, God, and whatever you want to do, God, we ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you have your way in this place, in Jesus' name.
If you really mean that, amen. Let's shift our focus. You ate, you feel good, you're full, got a little rest. The most important thing that we do right now is focus on Jesus. Can we do that together as a family? Yes? I didn't get the yeses. So let's shut our eyes for a moment. Don't look to the right, to the left. Give him your ultimate attention. Say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. I came here for you. I came here for you to do a work in me. So Jesus, have your way. Lord God, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. I am yours. Keep those eyes closed for a moment. And just take a breath, because he's here. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. Jesus, you are here. Just thank him for his presence. Something happens when you open up your own mouth. So I dare you right now, open up your mouth and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, Lord, I worship you. Jesus, you're awesome. God, there's no one like you. There's no one like you. Say, none compares to you, Lord. There's nobody compares to you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. We praise your name, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There's a purpose to this moment right here. Some of you might be waiting for some words. Okay, chick, when are you going to sing a song so I can look at some words and sing with you? This moment is purposeful. We didn't even plan this. But I know right now, by the Spirit, that this moment you got to take advantage of. Let's actually build a highway for the greater things to take place How many people want greater things? I don't want mediocre. I don't want the medium. I want him in all of his glory to rush in this place. Yes? Yes? So open up your mouth, and I don't mean like a scream. I mean open up your mouth and worship the Lord. That's it. I can hear some of you. That's it. Come on. Sing out a hallelujah. Sing out a hallelujah. Open up your mouth and give him praises. Because nobody sounds like you. He created you with a specific sound, and he loves your sound. So release a sound into the
give me Jesus.
entire weekend. You'll do whatever it takes. If he said to jump, what you gonna do? If he said to shout, what you gonna do? If he said to scream, what you gonna do? If he said to clap, what you gonna do? If he said to dance, I don't know, I don't even have a beat in my head. I'm just, hey, you gotta dance? Are you gonna do it? Will you do whatever it takes? Are you ready for more? Are you sure? Are you sure? Shout if you're ready. Hey.
You hide. I wanna find you.
go, God, we'll go. Where you lead us, Father, we'll follow. And we will not turn back. We will continue to move ahead. Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Walking your dog. You have moments. Amen? moments for the Holy Spirit to use you in great ways. Say great ways. Because he's empowered you to do so. Ooh. He's empowered you to do that. Say grace. It's not just about forgiveness. It's about being empowered. You with me? Are you there? Grace. We can soak in grace. We can swim in grace. Hallelujah.
There's healing in the water with a love that flows so deep. Wash over me, wash over me.
Yes.
Forgiveness in the water with a love that flows so deep. Wash over me, wash over me. In the water with a love that flows so deep. Wash over me, wash over me. Yeah, yeah. Wash over me. Wash over me.
There, come on.
Free to live, free to give, free to be, free to love you, free to live, free to give, free to be, free.
That's it, come on.
Free to live, free to give, free to be, free to love you, free to live.
That's right. That's who he's called you to be.
Free to love you. Free to love you, Lord. ahead and keep singing it out. Let that be your heart's cry right now. He's given you freedom. He's given you the ability to give all that you have to Him. Go through that one more time. Give it everything you've got, everything within you. Just give it to Him right now. I just want to encourage you back to your seats. Don't wait for tonight or tomorrow night to come to get what Jesus has for you. You can get it right now, and then it can build off of there. So just be encouraged as you make your way back to your seats to be expecting and grab what God has for you. So you'll probably find there are communion cups. We are going to do communion today together, which is super exciting, not something normal for a conference, but that, hey, that's all right, we're different. And it's meaningful. So if you don't have, once you find your seat, if you don't have a communion cup, can you just raise your hand in the air so our ushers can bring you one? We want to make sure everybody has one, that everyone can participate. So again, if you don't have a communion cup, just go ahead and raise your hand right up so we can find you and give you one. I need one. If someone could grab me one. Marcus, can you grab me one? Thank you. Okay, so I want to start with this because a lot of the times, if many of you have gone to church, if you haven't gone to church, you know, communion can be really looked at as just a, this is just our religious ritual. This is just what we do. But it's really not about that. So I just want to teach you real quick about what communion actually means. Jesus took communion with his disciples often, and he said to do it often and always. So communion is very symbolic, and it has great meaning. So I just want to challenge you as we take this communion today together that you don't look at it as a religious ritual, and this is just what we do in church, and it's I feel good about it. And no, this can really, really impact and change your life. So in Luke 22, Jesus is saying that my body was broken. The bread, which in this case we have a little wafer, this is a representation of the body of Jesus. And that was broken for us. That was broken is in a representation for healing. So again, if you don't believe in healing, I'm telling you, this is what his body represents, full and complete healing, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever kind of healing you need, this is a representation of that. In Isaiah 53, it says his body was wounded for our iniquities and bruised for our transgressions. And later on, it says, by his stripes we were healed. So that covers everything. There's not a cancer, there's not a disease, there's not any kind of sickness out there that is too big for God. He took it all. That's what his body represents. So when you take a bite of this really gross little wafer, It's okay, but it really has powerful meaning. And I believe that as we take this together today, if you have sickness in your body, I just want you to lay hands on yourself when we do this and really believe that as you do this, God's going to bring healing to your body. And of course, there's a second portion to this, and it's, in this case, grape juice. But it's the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that represents our forgiveness. So our forgiveness from our past, every single bit, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've come from, every single thing that you've done, he is already forgiven. He did it on the cross. His blood was shed for our forgiveness, for past, present, and future. Now, with that being said, it doesn't mean you can go sin and say, well, Jesus already forgave me. But this is a representation for that sin. So I just want to encourage you, again, if you have sickness in your body, I want you to just go ahead and lay hands on yourself. And I'm going to pray. And we're going to take this together. And I believe that this is just a great transition into what God has for the rest of the weekend for you. Amen? So Holy Spirit, right now, I just speak out, God, that any sickness in our bodies, anyone here that may be having any kind of sickness or trouble in their bodies, whether it be emotional, physical, God, I just speak your complete healing right now in the name of Jesus. I command every bit of sickness to leave the bodies and speak your wholeness and your healing, God. And as we take this together, God, we do this in remembrance of you, God, and that it will be just a turning point in this conference, Jesus, and that this blood that you shed for us, thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed for us. Thank you, Jesus, that we are completely washed clean of everything that would keep us away from you, God. So we give you praise, we give you honor, and we take this together in remembrance of you in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's going to be baskets passing around. Just go ahead and toss those in the baskets. But so have you guys been enjoying yourselves so far? It's been amazing, amazing stuff. We're super excited, again, that you are all here. It's been a phenomenal time already, and it's only going to get better. But remember, don't wait for tonight or tomorrow night. Get it now and let it build upon that. Amen? I want to introduce you next. I'm a little bit biased. One of my favorite preachers ever. No, he's my husband, Pastor Cody Spencer. He's the youth pastor here. Can we give him a shout? He's got an amazing killer word for you.
Before we get there, though, if you're a young adult, 18 to 28, we're going to go ahead and have our over-under session out at the tent. And if you are a leader in this place, I heard Josh Carter ripped it up this morning. My goodness. But we're going to have another great session. We're calling it Ted Said for the leaders. Brother Teddy's going to be over with you. So if you're a leader, you guys can go ahead and exit right out this side door as well for another session. Man, I'm excited, though. I know those sessions are going to be amazing, powerful, life-changing. We'll give them a couple seconds as they go ahead. Leaders, if you missed the first one, I want to encourage you to go ahead over to this one. I think one of the smartest things you can do is empower yourself to lead this generation at a greater level. Yeah, you guys are good. Do you want to give it up for the band while all these other people leave real quick? There you go. Hey, if you're up in the back, there's some room up front now. You can go ahead and move up a little bit. I don't want to be too far away from you. No, you can't sit up here. Actually, there's one time I had some seventh graders sit all up on the floor because they were being loud in youth group, so they got to sit, like, right there. But we don't need that today. Not today. I love conference. I'm so excited to preach. It's one of my favorite things to do. I absolutely love to preach, as you guys would go ahead and grabbing your seats up here. But first, I would love to take a selfie with you for Snapchat. I don't know if anybody has checked out our geofilter yet for Snapchat. It's not on yours. If you open and close it, it's been like on and off for mine. I don't know why. I feel like they should give us some money back. You need Wi-Fi? You got to be on Wi-Fi? I'll take a video, all right? Oh, no. Oh, I hit the memories button. I hate that button. All right, we'll try it again. No, we got it. All right, this side, go ahead. Come on. Where are you at? Come on, Uproar Conference. Hey! Now, let's hope that this works. Oh, my goodness. Oh, there it is. All right, there you go. I thought it was going to be there on me. But yeah, try to use that filter if you can. I'm excited about it. So, Uproar Conference, can I let you know that we literally for one entire year plan for this. We'll take like 1 week off and we'll start planning again. And our greatest goal is to get some Holy Ghost fired up, revelatory preachers here to impact your hearts, your spirit. And tonight, I'm really excited about Josh Carter. Really, really excited about our preacher tonight. I'm telling you, come expecting to meet Jesus. And then at 6, we have Social Club, have free concert, which would be fun. You didn't convince me at all. But that's all right. You don't have to like them. I just do. And then we're going to mix up the band tonight, and we're going to have Brother Teddy and his band here, which means you're about to be jumping all night. I love both bands. We're going to give you a little mix, give them a night off. Let's bow our heads real quick. I want to preach. Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for bringing us here, opening our hearts, giving us the ability to grow more like you, to grow closer towards you. So, Lord, I thank you right now that our hearts, they're opened, they're prepared. And Lord, I pray that we're hungry for what you have for us. And if you agree with that, can I hear a mighty amen real quick? Amen. Amen. I love a generation that's not willing to be quiet. I think too long the church has sat back and just let things happen and not spoken up at all. Which is wild to me because you have the answer. You have the truth. Today, the title of my message, and unfortunately, I don't have a lot of funny stories. When I try to tell a funny story, it just gets weird and awkward, and everyone stares at me, and we have to move on quickly. So I'm not good with stories at all, I apologize. But the title of my message today is going to be Cowardly Lions. Has anybody ever gone to a zoo? Come on, anybody ever gone to a zoo? If you're from around here, you probably haven't gone to a real zoo. But lions are like one of my favorite things to look at the zoo because they're terrifying, all right? They're stinking huge. I don't like cats. I think they're gross. But, like, cats are gross, and this is why. Because they pee and poop in a box, and they have their feet all up in that box, and then they walk over all of your stuff with those same feet. That's disgusting to me. I don't know why you would want that in your house. But I don't like cats. But I love lions. I really don't think that they're a cat. They're huge and they're terrifying. But I love lions. And I one of the main things I really enjoy about them is, man, they're stinking powerful. Like, you look at a lion and you know they might be the most calm animal at the entire zoo. But if that thing wants to go into action, you better look out. Because it has all the power in the world. Or has anybody ever heard, like, a lion roar? That's terrifying. Like, you can be staring at the thing and you know it's coming, and it will still shake you with the sheer power it has in its roar. And I want to let you know today that you have a power that is so absolutely shaking to the world, but what has occurred is we've become cowardly lions based upon what culture has to say of us. Peter, I think, is a great example. So in Matthew 26, we know Peter was one of Jesus' disciples, one of his really, really close disciples. And Jesus had just been taken away for his trial and crucifixion. And Peter followed him. And he followed him, and he was sitting outside. This is Matthew 26, right about verse 70. And he's sitting outside, and they asked him, said, aren't you one of those disciples? He said, no, not me, guys. No, you got me mixed up. And a couple minutes later, they're, man, I know you got to be one of the disciples. You're definitely one of them. Again, he denies it. And then the last time, like a little girl walks up to him. She says, you're a disciple. I know it. You've been with this guy, Jesus. I know all about you. You've been with him. You have to be. And he did, like, cuss this little girl out. Like, I'm not a disciple of Jesus. I don't know this Jesus. I don't follow this Jesus. And it blows my mind that a man who had walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, seen all of the miracles Jesus had done, had been with him, knows the character of Jesus, knows all these deep revelations about him, would sit there and deny that he even knew him. And I think we need to give Peter a little bit credit than most people do. Because most people are like, he didn't even love him. He must have hated Jesus. Man, at least he was the one that followed him to the trial. Everyone else sprinted away. And I think what we see is a lot of Christians who will follow Jesus just to a certain point, but when it gets too scary, it's easy to throw that guard up. No, I don't know him. Yeah, I go to church, but you know, like my parents, they make me go, so it's not a choice. Oh, yeah, my girlfriend goes, there's a couple cute girls too. So that's why I go. And I think it's really easy for us to get in this place where we become cowardly lions. And it doesn't make sense to me. We look just like Peter often. We want to run around and say, yeah, I got this great call on my life, and I'm going to do this, and I get excited at conference, and conference has me jazzed up, and I can't wait to go home, and I can't wait to tell my friends, and I can't wait to impact my church. But then we get home, and 3 weeks later, it's the same old story. So can I tell you the one thing I hate about conference? I'll be completely honest with you. I hate conference for this one fact that most people, they come and they experience Jesus in the first 3 weeks. They're so excited about him, but then they go right back to the same person they were, do the same things, the same actions. And I don't believe that has to be a picture of your life. But I hate that about conference. I think that's the story almost every single time. But can I tell you why I believe most people do that? I want to help you solve this right now. Because almost every single person you've seen on my team from conference this year, their life was impacted at conference. And it wasn't like, oh yeah, 3 weeks later, I was getting high again. Just sleeping with my boyfriend or girlfriend. Like, it was nonchalant. Man, they made a decision that I love Jesus and I hate sin. And years of consistency saying, you know what? Conference, my life was changed. You don't have to be another person that goes back to doing the same thing. You don't have to be another person that goes back to that old lifestyle. You can be someone who's impacted by Jesus, and you live for him every single day. And I think it boils down to this one thing. We don't know who we are. And if you don't know who you are, how could you ever actually truly live it? See, it's one thing to encounter the love of Jesus, but it's another thing to know what he's truly said about you. We don't see ourselves through the right lenses. And I think that's one of the biggest issues we see. Is you can encounter Jesus, but you go home and say, well, I still looked at porn, so I'm an adulterer. Or you say, you know, I got high, so I'm just a drug user. There's a preacher, and he said it like this. He said, we can experience Jesus' love and we can experience him, but for some reason we keep ourselves tied to what our old life used to be. See, if Jesus set you free from something, you are free indeed. So when you go and look at yourself after conference, yeah, beforehand you walked in one way, but when you walk out, you're washed white as snow. As you experience Jesus, he takes you from one state to a complete other. He says, the old has passed away and the new is here. So if you walk out with your testimony or your definition of yourself as, yeah, I experienced Jesus, but I struggle with this, then you will struggle with it. But if you say, you can walk in and say, I love Jesus and I hate sin. And I know that out of this, I might have walked in one way, but I'm walking right out the other way, completely opposite. I don't identify with that anymore. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm about. That's not what I'm interested in. Things will change in your life. See, I think what we do is we allow ourselves to be defined by the world instead of by the Word. See, it's easy to walk around and say, what people say about your generation absolutely infuriates me because they don't understand either. I've heard so many things said about your generation, whether it be you're worthless. Anybody ever heard they're worthless before? Oh, come on. I've heard people say that you're lost. I've heard people say that you're unable to do things that your parents have done. I've heard people say that you're undesirable. Anybody have ever had these things said about you? I've heard people say that you're untalented, that you're lazy. Some of you are lazy, but you need to be set free of that. Can't sleep till noon. Come on, get out of bed. But too often we allow ourselves to be defined by the world instead of the word. In the world, I don't know how the world could ever define us because they don't know who you truly are. See, who you truly are is defined by Jesus. And if they don't know Jesus, how could they truly define you? That doesn't make sense to me. How could we submit ourselves to the world and everything that it says of us? How could we submit ourselves to someone who doesn't know what purpose and destiny lies inside of you as a teenager that lies right there? Pastor Sean just taught on purpose, that every person has a purpose. How could the world define your purpose if they don't even know the Christ that put it inside of you? But we'll let people say, you know what, you're undesirable, and we'll take it to heart. We'll let people say that you're stupid, and you'll take it to heart. You'll let people say any word over you, and you'll take it to heart and define yourself by that. But it's wild to me, because if they didn't create you, how can they define you? See, I already said it. We allow ourselves to be defined by the world instead of the word. See, this is the difference. This is the key. This is the shift. When you say, I don't care what the world says about me. I don't care if they think I'm crazy. I don't care if they think I'm a lunatic. I don't care if they think that I've gone absolutely nuts. This thing I know, that I want all of Jesus. And if I can get all of Jesus, I'll have everything else that I desire. And when you can get all of Jesus, I'm telling you, they're going to want what you have. We need to be defined by the word. What does the word say about you? I wrote down a couple of things that stood out to me about what the word says about you. And I don't want you to be like, oh yeah, that's cool. That's nice. Man, no, it's not cool. It's not nice. This is a definition of your life. If you could fill this in and say, my name, boom, 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 boom. It's almost like a resume. When you go and apply for a job, you have to write down what you are and what you've accomplished. Man, these are the things Jesus has said, what you are. And if you can decide, you know what, I'm going to take hold of this. If you can decide that it's not just going to be a head knowledge, but you'll allow God to reveal it in your spirit, you can start to live by this. And if you can live by this, you don't have to be defined by the world anymore. And you don't have to go back to the things that you were doing that kept you looking and looking and looking. See, do you know what? Before I get to what the word says about you, this is one of my big issues too. I see a generation that's searching for truth, that's searching for acceptance and love and joy. You're searching for these things, and you can search all you want. You can search in drugs, you can search in sexuality, you can search in anger, you can search in creating your own joy. You can search anywhere you want, but this I know and this I can prove, that if you create it on your own, you have to make it on your own. And if you create it on your own, you will never truly be satisfied to the fullness, because it'll wear off and you have to go and get it again. See, anything that wears off and you have to go get again is self-created. If you want a true joy, that's through Jesus, and you don't even have to create it. That's inside of you. If you want a true acceptance and love, that's inside of Jesus. But if you keep looking in the world, what keeps coming out is just a little bit of what God has for you. It's just a little bit of what He's placed there. Just a little bit, so you can feel okay, but keep doing the same thing. But if you can find it in Jesus, I'm telling you, you don't have to search anymore. You don't have to look any farther. You don't have to keep fighting for it. He has it for you waiting right there. So what are some things that the word says about you? First off, He says that you're a chosen generation. Can I tell you that you're not a mistake, that you're chosen? If you're living in the end times, I'm telling you right now, he trusted you more than Peter, Paul. He trusted you more than any of the great pastors you might respect to bring in an amazing harvest of souls. You are a chosen generation. You are not an accident. You are a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:29. Also, can I tell you that you are more than a conqueror? That I don't care what the world might throw at you. I don't care how hard it might look. I don't care how disastrous it might seem. I don't care if it looks like terrorism is going to win. I don't care if it looks like drugs and alcohol are going to win. I don't care if a gangster culture looks like it might win. That you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And if you're more than a conqueror and you can decide to say that I'll let myself be defined by that because of the Christ that lives inside of me, that I won't take another loss, but I'm unbeatable because God has never been defeated. If you can make that a part of your life, come on, you're more than a conqueror. She had you saying that, what was that, last night or this morning for worship? This morning, you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You're called. You're predestined. You're justified. I don't care what the world says about you. They might say you're worthless, that you have nothing, that you have no meaning, no value, that you can't do it. That's a stinking lie right there. He said you're called. He said you're justified. He set you up. He placed it inside of you already. So it doesn't matter what they might say about you or what they might think about you. It's already said of you. But if you allow yourself to be defined by the world, you'll never allow yourself to live by the word. What else do you say? You're bold. You're loving. You're an answer to prayer to people. You know that? Because of the Christ living inside of you, you're an answer to prayer to people. You're a miracle. Can we turn that music off in the background? That sounded like Trip Lee. That sounded like Manolo. He'll be here tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. You're an answer to prayer. When someone is going through an issue and you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you're an answer to prayer in their situation. You can walk in and you can give them the wisdom of the word. You can show the love of Jesus in their life. What else does the word say? You're a miracle worker, right? If he called you to do it, he empowered you to do it. Mark 16:15. Go through. You're the salt of the earth. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Man, if you can get a couple of these things as to who you truly are, I believe that you don't have to be a cowardly lion. Because I see a generation who's stuck in this moderate Christianity, which I think is one of the most bullcrap things I've ever heard of in my life. How could you moderately live for Christ? You know what I mean? Like, culture truly expects you to moderately live for Jesus. That's cool that you go to church, but don't shove it down my throat. Yeah, that's cool that you love Jesus, but just keep it down a little bit, okay? I'm sick of seeing all your posts. I'm sick of you telling me in the hallway to check out church with you. I'm sick of hearing your testimony. And for some reason, as Christians, we've bought this that we have to be quiet, that we have to be silent, that we have to be moderate according to what the world has defined us as, according to what makes the world comfortable. Can I tell you that moderate Christianity, while it might make the world comfortable, it allows them to go straight to hell? And I'm sick and tired of a moderate Christianity that says, you know what? It's okay. Just sit back. Just go to church. Just be happy with the Jesus you have. When Jesus clearly said, there's nothing moderate about me, but forsake everything and follow me, but to lay things down and bear my cross, but to be defined by my word. There's nothing moderate about this belief. There's nothing moderate about your faith. There's nothing moderate about following Jesus Christ. And if you can understand that as you go back to school this year, you want to know why I picked this weekend for conference? Because next week is when school sports start for New York State. Like if you play football, you probably have sports starting Monday. I wanted to get as close to school as I could so you could be absolutely still excited about what Jesus did in your life and hopefully bring it to school. But if you allow yourself to be a moderate Christian, you're going to miss out on the things that Jesus has for you. You get what Jesus has for you when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these things will follow you. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you can't be moderate about following him. But we've bought this lie. Said, you know what? It's okay. I'll be quiet. I'll sit in the corner. I'll make it so you're not uncomfortable with your sin. Man, why are we pacifists to sin anyways? Why are we okay with sin occurring right in front of us? I'm not okay when someone has cancer, but for some reason we're okay with them having sin in their life. They both bring death. One in eternal. See, I don't understand why we're okay with all these things as Christians. I know why, but I don't understand how we've gotten here. I know that we've just brought our voice down a little bit so we don't make people uncomfortable. So we don't have confrontation. So we can still have all the friends that we have and still be popular. But can I tell you that I'd way rather be less popular and bring more people to heaven than it would be popular and have them never hear the good news of Jesus. I don't understand this moderate Christianity that we preach. I don't understand this moderate Christianity that we live. So when we look at the disciples, when we look at the apostles, when we look at anybody in the Word of God, there was nothing moderate about how they lived for Jesus. There was nothing moderate about how they lived for God. There was nothing moderate. They didn't just do it halfway. They were all the way in. There was nothing just a little bit. They were all the way in on it. Can I tell you that as a generation, you need to get all the way in on Jesus, not just 1 foot in, 1 foot out, because that doesn't get you anywhere but spit out of Jesus' mouth. You need to get so excited about Jesus. Here's what I've been on lately. I want to love Jesus and hate sin. I want to hate sin so much. I was just on a panel on Tuesday answering questions for a young adults ministry on relationships. And they said, the one question was, how far can we go without hurting God? And can I tell you, I feel like that's the question we ask ourselves a lot, isn't it? How far can I go until I'm like separate from Jesus? Can I tell you, that question really exposes an issue. Because if our goal is to get as close to sin as possible, then it shows our heart isn't right at all. If you want to get close to sin, it shows your heart isn't with Jesus, it's with sin. See, I want to love Jesus and I want to hate sin. I want to get as close to the Lord as I can and hate everything that doesn't represent him. I want to get as close to Jesus and I want to hate what causes death. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't know how we got there, but the next point in my notes is you are the light of the world. And that's what I want to hit on for a couple minutes. How much time do I have left? Like 30 minutes? All right. We're going to power through these, okay? I think we got some good meat here. You are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. You guys have heard this probably a million times if you go to church. I want to read this for you real quick. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. It's so easy. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Can you tell the light of the world, lights do what? They illuminate what's around, and they show a path. If you're the light of the world, you can't be moderate and you can't be silent. You got to show a path. You got to light things up. You got to show what's true and honest and just. You're a city on a hill. Can I tell you, cities are very visible from far away. Even living like around here, have you ever driven through maybe the hills and there'll be one house up on top of the hill with a light on and it sticks out like a sore thumb? Man, you're not just called a house on top of a hill, you call the city on a hill. You can't be missed. And can I tell you when you're most noticeable is when you're in the darkness? Because I've driven by a million houses up on a side of a hill, and I've never seen it until nighttime when the light was on. You're most visible when it's the darkest out. So can I tell you, young people, that I don't care what culture looks like, and I don't care what it might feel like, and I don't care how far away things might seem, and it doesn't matter how detestable and how gross it might look, that you shine brightest in the darkness. And that if you're going to let your light shine, people are going to start flocking to you. It's not anything crazy that you have to do. It's not something you have to, like a special talent. It's literally letting your light shine and saying, I love Jesus and I serve Jesus. And I want to let you know who I serve. And I want to let you know what he said about me. And I want to let you know what he said about you as well. Can I tell you also that I feel like a lot of people don't serve Jesus because they don't want to look down on. They don't want people to look down on them. But I've never seen someone look down on a city on a hill. You got to stare up at it. Man, when you're truly following Jesus, people got to look up at you. Jesus is going to put you on a platform. He said you're a city on a hill, so he's going to put you up there. Let your good deeds. Man, it's easy. Live for Jesus, people will take notice. Period. Point blank. But I find this interesting, too. That in John chapter 1 verse 4 says the word gave life to everything that was created and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. That word light is the same word in Matthew 5, P-H-O-S, phos. The same light God called you is the same light that he created that cannot be extinguished. It's funny because the word extinguish, it literally, if you break it down, it means it can't even comprehend the light. The darkness can't even understand the light. Who you are in Jesus, darkness can't even comprehend. It can't even understand the power that you have. It can't even understand who you truly are. You have the light that shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot defeat you because it can't even understand you. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter how dark it might look around you. Like, for example, just our city alone. It's pretty crazy. Two nights ago at a local bar, a guy opened up a door right before closing, stuck a pistol in the door, and shot 5 people. I don't think any of them died. One's critical condition, but that's dark, man. Elmira was rated number 1 for prescription heroin epidemic in the nation. The number 1 heroin abusers from a prescription standpoint. Man, we're in a dark city. Rochester. I know we got some people from Rochester. Man, you got some stuff happening up in Rochester. It's one of the poorest cities in the nation. It might look dark, but man, you're the light. And if you're the light, the darkness can't even understand you. Can I tell you that you're the answer to your city's problem? You're the answer to your family's problem? You're the answer to your friend's problem? You're the answer to your family problem? You're the answer to your every single problem you run into, you have the answer. But if you're a coward about it, just like Peter was, they'll never know. Romans 5:20 says, for God's law was given so that people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. I don't care how dark culture looks, how dark a city looks, how dark a generation looks, how much sin they're in, that God's grace is calling them farther than their sin can ever take them. You can't look at a generation, you can't look at your friends and say they've gone too far. Because God's grace is literally sitting right there saying, I'm stronger, I'm greater, I've already paid for it, I'm just waiting. You're cowardly when you forget who you are. Jesus said some amazing things about you. But you're cowardly when you forget those things. Revelation 5:5, the lion of the tribe of Judah is how Jesus is described. Remember I said about lions as we started that roar is, man, it'll shake you even if you're waiting for it. It can be a little scary. The roar is scary, but most Christians never even open up their mouth. Man, the Bible, exposes so many things. It is the truth. And if you can open up your mouth with the word, you can start to expose truth. And I'm telling you, that's the last thing the enemy wants you to do, is to for you to realize who you are, to realize the power of the word, and for you to start to share it. See, if he can keep your mouth shut, he can let people will keep dying. But if you can make a decision that I'm not going to be a coward about what God has said, I'm not going to be a coward about what God has said I am, what my friend says I am, what he says my friend is, I'm not going to be a coward of it. I'm not going to be a coward of what God has said about my generation. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to proclaim it. I'm going to let them know. I'm going to share it. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to sit back. I'm going to open up my mouth and I'm going to let some people know. And have you ever noticed, like, a lion in action is completely unstoppable? If you live by the word, you are unstoppable. It's like cheat codes. I remember, anybody get to play with the N64 in here? I feel like you're, like, way too young. All right, a couple people. It's my people. So on the N64, there's a Ken Griffey Jr. baseball game. Does anybody even know who Ken Griffey Jr. is? Oh, my gosh. All right, look him up. One of the best baseball players of all time. But I remember, in the home run derby mode, you could do left, left, right, 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 left, left, down. And you hit a home run every time. It didn't matter if, like, the ball just got pitched. If you hit it, it's a home run, period. You couldn't lose. Left, left, right, 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 left, left, down. I was, like, 11 when I played that. But can I tell you that you're unstoppable when you can live by the word of God? It's just like a cheat code. You can't be beat. You cannot be beat. You're unstoppable because God is unbeatable. God's word is untrumpable. What he said of you, it cannot be stopped. What he's spoken, that is truth. That it trumps fact. It is absolute truth. All right, other way around, doesn't matter. And the devil's actually terrified of you living out who you really are. If you really lived who God created you to be, I'm telling you, it would be the most amazing thing this world has ever seen. So when the disciples showed up in a city, it's Acts 17, verse 6, and it's really what conference is based off, is this verse. The disciples showed up in a city, and the city people said this of them. Said, and these are the ones who have turned the world upside down. I'm telling you, if you could be a person that lives in your purpose, if you could be a person that lives by the word, if you can be a person that's not defined by the world, but you're defined by Christ, and your actions are to love Christ and to hate sin, that's what's going to be said of you. You're going to walk into school, they're like, that's the one that turned my classroom upside down the other day because someone was sick and they laid hands on him and they were healed. That's the person who someone's mom was going through an issue and they stepped up to the plate and they bought food for the family and then they brought them to church and their whole family has changed. And that's the person. They've turned the world upside down. They've started an uproar. They've done something. Can I tell you, young people in this place, if you can live how God created you to live, if you can stop being a moderate Christian, a cowardly lion, and say, I'm going to be who God has called me to be, and I'm going to be what the Word has called me to do, and I'm not going to sit back anymore, and I'm not going to be quiet, and I'm not going to let people say whatever, and I'm not going to let them do whatever, but I'm going to stand on the Word of truth, and I'm not going to be silenced, and I'm not going to be hidden in the church, and I'm not going to run around scared, but I'm going to stand bold on who God said I am. I'm going to fulfill my purpose. I'm going to share the word. If that can be you, you'll cause an uproar. But if you go back from this place exactly how you were because you failed to realize what God has said about you, you'll be the same person walking in these doors next year with the same issues. I don't think God wants that for you. He wants you this year to encounter him, to know who you are, and to sprint fully with him, never looking back. That's been my prayer, that you guys will encounter Jesus and live for him the rest of your life, flipping a generation around. The devil's terrified of you living out who you really are. See, when people try to create their own identity, it kills their purpose. I think people that have to try to fit in, they're the real coward. You ever notice people like their whole group of friends, they'll be disrespectful, so they'll be disrespectful too? Or a whole group of friends, they'll like say this one word, and they'll pick up on that one word too? If you got to try to fit in, you're really a coward. People say, well, I'm just trying to stand out. No one wants to be like everybody else, but they do the same exact things. If you don't want to be like everybody else, but you do the same things, you're a coward. I believe God hasn't called you to be a coward. He's called you to live in purpose. And if you can live in purpose, you are going to be absolutely unstoppable. Because a false identity kills your purpose. But when you can find your identity in Jesus, you're going to fulfill everything he's called of you. When we don't live in purpose, we live in a lie. By the way, the devil is the father of lies. Lies have to be held up because they're fabricated. When you can live as God created you, he holds you up. You don't got to fight to create your own purpose. You have to fight to create your own identity. He holds it up inside of you because he spoke it over you. He placed it inside of you at birth. He created you this way. He created you with this purpose. He created you with this plan. He created you to flip the world upside down. He created you for this. You were made for such a time as this. But if you let the world define you, you'll never actually fulfill that. If you let them tell you, just sit down, little Christian. Be quiet, little Christian. Only post one verse a day, little Christian. Don't pray for that person that's sick in public. Don't you dare. Sure, let that define you. You'll never be fulfilled in what you're really called to do. Your mindset will change everything. And by mindset, I mean your revelation. Your understanding of who you are changes everything. If you don't change your mindset, you'll always go back to who you were. Always. Have you ever noticed, we use basketball players. So there was a basketball player that got drafted by the Celtics. Celtics are the best team in the NBA. Down with Isaiah Thomas. Watch your mouth. Hold up. Check the banners, all right? Check the rings. But, all right, ready? The Celtics drafted this guy, and his name was Lenny Bias. And Lenny Bias was supposed to be like the next Larry Bird. If you know who Larry Bird is, I'm going to pray for your soul. He's the best white guy to ever play basketball, ever. When I pull up for a shot from three, I channel my inner Larry Bird. But Lenny Bias got drafted by the Celtics, and he overdosed on drugs like 2 days later. Killed himself. Supposed to be one of the best basketball players coming up to ever live. And he kills himself. But we see these kind of things all the time in sports where someone will come up and they'll get a lot of money and they'll come into the situation, but they're never able to separate themselves from the lifestyle they grew up in. So while they might have a lot of money and a lot of notoriety, they've never changed the mindset of who they truly are. So they'll go back and they'll blow all their money or they'll go running back to drugs. But that's the same picture of Christians or when we come to a conference or when we encounter Jesus for the first time. Man, you're rich in Jesus. You're set aside in Jesus. You're set high up in Jesus. You're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You have purpose in Jesus. You've just received the greatest payment anyone has ever made. But then we'll run back because we fail to realize who we are. What? We can look at people like, you're an idiot. How do you waste $3 million? Look at people like, you're an idiot. How do you waste your purpose? How do you waste your call? How do you waste true happiness? How do you waste true satisfaction just to have to create it on your own and never really get it? Mind-blowing. But if your mindset never changes, if a revelation of who you are never changes in your life, you'll always go back to that. I'm sick of you going back to it. I'm sick of you having to return to it. And I know you are too. That's why you're in church seeking Jesus. Galatians 2:20, behold, the old has passed away, the new is here. If something passed away, I've used this example before, but I think it just works. Who has owned a dog? I'm not talking about cats because remember, I don't care about them. All right, so my dog, he died like 10 years ago. Best dog ever. He cuddled with me, and he'd sleep in my bed and keep it warm for me when I wasn't home. And ready? So this is what happened. My dog died, because when they get old, they die. And we buried him out back of my parents' house. Now, here's what I've never done. Never in my life have I been like, I miss my dog. Do you know what I should do? I should go dig my dog up and I should go play with him. I've never done that. Because that's disgusting. Because it's passed away. So why as Christians are we okay with having our sin dead and gone, but going back and visiting something that's dead and disgusting and digging it back up? It doesn't make sense to me. You can clap, but you got to make a decision not to go back to that dead dog. We serve a king who paid an unaffordable price for you. You could never buy it. I don't care if you had all the money in the world. You could own all the people in the world, all the land in the world, all the water in the world, everything that it produces, and you could never afford your eternity. We serve a king who paid an unaffordable price, but we sell ourselves cheap? For what? For 30 minutes? For a dang website? We'll trade the king for that? We'll trade our price tag for that? Are you kidding me? The only way we'll trade our price tag for that is if we don't know who we really are. I want to read that list to you again. I feel like you should hear it again. You're a chosen generation, which means you're not just kind of here because you're here. You're a royal priesthood. You are more than a conqueror. You are called, predestined, justified. You're bold. You're loving. You're an answer to someone's prayer. You're a miracle worker. You're the salt of the earth. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the light of the world. That's what you are. How could you go back to anything else? That's who you are. I got a couple things I want to ask you before we end today. Ben, can you play some pretty music back there for me? Make me sound good? I can't sing or nothing, so we got to have something back there. I want to confront you on some things today. So I think if I brought you to this place and I present these things to you and I just kind of let you like, that was cool, I guess. I'm doing you an injustice. I think you need to come to a decision right now where you lay it down, man. I will not be that. That will not be my future. I will not return to my sin. I hate sin. I will not return to that. I will not be a moderate Christian. I will not sit back. I will not be a cowardly lion. That's not me. If one person could stop, if one person could step up, can you imagine what your school would look like? Now imagine 100, 200. Imagine it. It just starts with one. Why can't you be the one? That's the question. Why can't you be the one? Number one, you're a coward if you're too scared to stand out. Anyone can do what everyone is doing. Anyone can be a moderate Christian, whatever that means. I don't think it's right to add Christian at the end of that word. But you need a revelation of who he says you are. Now let me tell you something about Peter. We started with him, remember? He walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, saw what Jesus did, knew Jesus' character, knew what Jesus' plan was, but he still denied him. There was a shift inside of him. A huge shift. Because a couple months later, he's with his boys praying in an upper room, and man, they get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and there's tongues of fire on their head, and they go spilling out into the street. By the way, the supernatural shouldn't stay in the church. It's meant for outside of the church. That's another project. It's another sermon. This is what happens, though. People are like, oh, they're drunk. They're crazy. And Peter stands up. Peter, remember the guy who cussed out a little girl? That guy. He says, they're not drunk as you suppose. And he goes and preaches a message where 3,000 men get saved. 3,000 men. That's not like, oh yeah, someone, that was cool. Like, they thought about Jesus. No, like 3,000 men gave their life to Jesus that day. There was a difference though. See, beforehand, he had seen all these things, but he didn't really know who he was. And he wasn't baptized with the Holy Ghost. See, if you don't want to be a cowardly lion, I think you need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I'm not saying that you got to, like, run around yelling in tongues all the time. Like, don't do that. It's weird. I was just at a wedding with a lady like that. It creeped everybody out. But can I tell you, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost because it'll bring a boldness inside of you. It'll set you on a supernatural crash course for your destiny. And if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, nothing's going to stop you. It's a fire burning inside of you that can't be put out. And it's for you. Now, one of the things with being baptized in the Holy Ghost is the evidence of speaking in tongues. But when I go and buy a shoe, I don't look at the shoe and be like, yo, that's a dope tongue. I want the shoe. It's weird, right? It's an evidence. Don't be weird. Too many churches make things weird. Jesus looked at his disciples before he ascended, and he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall bear witness to me, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. See, the Holy Spirit is for power to share, not power to keep. And if you want to be a bold lion, if you don't want to be a cowardly lion, you need a boldness to share, a power to share. That's what happened with Peter. I feel like churches are full of Peters. Around Jesus, we see Jesus, we know of Jesus, but when it comes down to it, we respond like cowards. I'm sick of seeing a generation. I refuse to let a generation be like that I can talk to. So here's what we're going to do. I believe there's people hungry in here to see a generation changed. I believe you want to see your friends going to heaven, your parents, your aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, your school, your city. I believe you want that. I believe you desire that. And God wants you to do that as well. So if that's you in this place, you're saying, I want power to not be a coward. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to quickly get out of your seat and come to the front. I want to pray with you today. Come on, if that's you saying, I'm going to change a generation. I'm going to flip a generation on its head. I'm not going to be the one that sits back anymore. I'm not going to be the one that sits back when I'm confronted. I'm not going to be the one that lets people tell me how I can live for Jesus. I'm not going to be the one. I refuse to be the one. Where's some of my team? If I got some of my team in the foyer, hurry up and come in here. We got a couple people to pray for. Hallelujah. Thank you. You're going to be the one. You got power that's about to reside inside of you for boldness. If you're my team, come here up on the stage real quick. Come on, come on. Ben, can we find something a little bit faster? I know I said something pretty, but it's too pretty. I want you to look at me in my eyes real quick. God has faith in you. And if you realize that God has faith in you to win this generation, my goodness. If God has faith in you, He's got everything that you need already. So here's what we're going to do. What song did you put on? Rob, come up here too. I need you. Spirit Breakout. Hallelujah. Come on, good song for what we're about to do, right? Here's what we're going to do. I want you guys to worship. Put your focus on Jesus for a minute. Woo. And what we're going to do, this team right here, we're going to come through. We're going to pray for you guys. We're going to pray for you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and with power. Some of you, you know what you're going to do? God's going to drop a spiritual language inside of your head. And as that happens, here's the deal I'm making with you. All right? Here's the deal. We're going to pray for you, and as soon as we're done praying, you're going to open your mouth and talk. Whatever God puts in your heart, you let that flow. And I don't care what doctrine you might believe, and I don't care what your parents might have said about it. It's real, and I've experienced it, and everyone on this stage has experienced it, and it's for you. It's a gift from God, and God wouldn't give you a gift that wasn't for you. So go ahead, turn that music up from the back to the front. I want you to go ahead and lift your hands up. Go ahead and start to worship. Go ahead and turn your focus to Jesus. I'm going to have this team move a couple of you so we can get through here a little bit easier and we can manage this. But go ahead and start to worship from the back to the front of everyone in here. Go ahead and turn your focus right to Jesus, because he's got something for you. He has a power for you. He's got an ability for you. So as you step in, they're going to say, and these are the ones who have turned the world upside down. Go ahead and start worshiping. Come on and worship. Go ahead. From the back to the front. Turn your focus on Jesus. That's where it is right there. Turn that up a little bit more, Ben. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Jesus. Come on, there you go. Sing that. Hallelujah. Go ahead and speak out in that heavenly language he's given you. Come on, from the back to the front. Thank you, Jesus. Keep the music up. You're good. Thank you, Jesus. Roshi karabaso kotorobobobosh. Roshi karababaso kotoroboshi karababas. Rakarabashi karabaso kotorobosh. Rokotarababashi karabababas. Rakarabashi karabababaso kotoroboboshi. Johnny Manziel, God's got a call on your life. Go ahead and sing that for a minute. Come on, there's an army rising up. You're that army. Come on. You're a generation that's not going to be moderate. Come on, you're the generation that's going to win back what God has. Hallelujah. I've never seen an army be moderate. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not all the way off. Here's, I want, keep praying if you're getting prayed for. Come on, keep it, keep receiving. But everybody else in this place, a couple months ago we had a retreat with our people. And God spoke to me clearly, said in these last days, he's going to raise some people up to win mass amounts of souls. Not win like 100, but win thousands at a clip. And not just win them, but see them truly implemented into the church. Let me teach you something. That's called an anointing. When you can do something like that, it's an anointing on your life to be able to do it. An anointing is just a special ability. You know the cool thing about the anointing is it's governed by desire. If you want more, you got to desire it. So here's what I want in this place. I believe that there's people in here, you feel like I'm supposed to be one of those. I feel like God has called me to be one of those. That's going to win not just a couple souls, but I'm supposed to lead revivals. I'm supposed to have mass altar calls. If that's you, you feel like that's you, can I see you lift your hand up real quick? Amen. Hallelujah. That's sinking right. I don't care if every single evangelist in the world, every revivalist in the world's got to come out of this one place. We'll launch you in the right place. Pile in close real quick. Here's what we're going to do. Come on, pile in close. That's you, pile in close. Grab hands with the people next to you real quick. Come on, grab hands with the people next to you. This is based on desire. I'm going to pray right now. We're going to release that into your life. Here's what we're going to do. Go ahead and bow your heads. Close your eyes. Let's focus on Jesus for a second. Lord, I thank you right now for an anointing to win mass souls, to bring in this end time harvest. So I thank you, Jesus, right now. There's a generation that desires not just a few people, but for mass coming to you. So I thank you right now for an anointing on every single person's life that truly desires it, an anointing on every single life that desires to see mass souls and mass harvest flow through them. Whether it be a school lunch, whether it be a tent that they set up and started preaching, whether it be a parking lot, Lord, whatever it be you lay on their heart, I pray for an anointing right now for souls. In the name of Jesus, I release it into every one of their lives right now. Lord, don't let them go to bed without laying it on their heart. Exactly what you have them to do. And everybody else in here, and everybody up front, if you got prayed for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, let me see you raise your hand. Hallelujah. If you didn't, I see some people we missed. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. When I'm done praying, he's going to drop that into your heart. I want you to open your mouth and start praying whatever it is, all right? You're not crazy. You're not making it up. This is a heavenly language God has given you. And it's just proof of a power that you have. Ready? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for a baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I thank you. Go ahead. If you can speak in tongues already, start speaking in tongues. Raise the faith of the person next to you. So I thank you right now. That gift to be released with the evidence right now. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and open up your mouth. Whatever he just dropped into your heart, speak it right now. It might be ba 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 ba. It might be one syllable. It might be roshi karaba soko torobosh. It might not sound like your neighbor, but go ahead and start speaking out what he's laying in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, if you just got that language, let me see you slip your hand into the air. Thank you, Jesus. If you're speaking in tongues for the first time today, go ahead and slip your hand into the air. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you've empowered a generation. If you're excited about what Jesus has done in this place, can I hear a mighty amen? Hallelujah. I believe that your leaders are done. Are they done? No, they're not done. My goodness, I went long as heck and they're still not done. No, I don't want to release people without their leaders. Let's worship for a second. I think we're at a good spot with Jesus right now. Come on, he's done some amazing things in our lives. Come on, from the back to the front, go ahead and lift up your life. It was pretty crazy. I want to talk to you about the lepers real quick. Jesus encountered some lepers, and the Bible says that he healed all of them, which means the leprosy was completely gone. But only, I think it was one, right, Pastor Rob? One or two came back. One came back to Jesus and said, thank you. And the Bible says that that leper was made whole. Now, leprosy, like you have a finger fall off, an ear fall off, and the leprosy was gone from the nine, but the one that was made whole, every single thing was back. If he had a finger missing, his finger was back. If he had an ear missing, his ear grew back. Can I tell you that thankfulness will absolutely place you in a place of wholeness? So let's go ahead and give Jesus the thankfulness that he deserves for the next couple minutes for what he's done. I believe he wants a generation whole. He wants a generation with power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for calling us. We thank you that we're the light of the world. We thank you that we're more than conquerors. I thank you that I'm the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. Man, I just never want to leave the presence of Jesus. Sometimes you'll see me like after worship and I'm like ending worship and I'm like right here. And I don't want to end worship, but I know we have to. It's because I just don't want to leave the presence of Jesus, man. It's the best thing you can ever encounter is the presence of Jesus. Go ahead and sing that out. Come on, you know this song. Come on, a generation that'll sacrifice their lives for Jesus. That's a generation that can win this world. I don't care how wretched it is, how dark it is. That's you. He's empowered you to do it. Come on and lift your hands. Come on, let's make our lives a sacrifice for the next couple minutes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The glory. Come on, give them all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, end strong. Give them the rest of what you got. Give them everything. Come on. Come on, give it to them. generation that's going to flip the world upside down. Are you ready? You're not convincing. Are you ready? Yeah. Are you ready? Yeah. Hallelujah. Can you make this your plea? I won't remain hidden in the church, and I won't remain silent in the street. Live by that. I believe your leaders are done. You guys are good to go ahead and have lunch or dinner. Remember, 6 o'clock, social club concert. 7 o'clock, we got conference, baby. Come ready to worship and experience Jesus. It's about to be crazy. Go ahead and enjoy. I think we got the ice cream truck out there still, too. Out front, man, there's an ice cream truck.
Okay.